This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Rita Game. Fina Liu here. Having been in the workforce for a while now, I've seen a wide variety of leadership styles and personalities. But when you're younger, it can be intimidating to step into a leadership position, especially if the job requires your supervision to be either wide-ranging or of people you consider your seniors. How do you reconcile these factors? I've been seeing country head of UpGen, a Vietnamese office, a space solutions provider, is here to talk about just that. Before we discuss your work with UpGen, this isn't your first leadership position. You were previously managing business for Chi Fitness, is where I met you a couple of years ago, as well as the director of global sales for CyberRoam. So what was it like for you to step into your first leadership position? How old were you? What happened?
All right. Thank you so much, Freda, to have you. It's good to see you again. It's been a roller coaster ride when I took this role. I think just to give you a bit of story about myself, I started with CyberRoam. So CyberRoam, basically what we do is an IT solution. So we do firewalls, we do VPN, and I was managing almost 50 to 60 employees. Mm. So it was in India, Indonesia, and also Malaysia. Back then it was a little different because you work with someone. And at this point of my time when I'm working with Chi, which we met, and now with UpGen, leadership is, for me, it's always been about relationship building. Mm-hmm. So it's very reciprocal, yep, trait. And how I see it right now is that the first thing that I always share with people now when I go out there is being kind. I think that's my first key factor that I bring in into leadership, because working in these few industries, I realize that people work differently with different leaders. Mm. So that you see a lot of people speak about boss and leaders. What's the difference? So in my perspective, as working in different companies for now, it's been kindness has always been the number one factor at this point. So with kindness, you feel that you can engage with people. People can speak to you. And in the end of the day, the most important thing is you want your employee to speak and engage with you. So engagement is also important. And I will never get more in terms of what kindness means to me.
Okay.
And it's just not by being kind. It's also showing to your employees how you can be kind.
Okay. So what your first leadership role was with CyberRoam, right? How old were you then?
Well, that's a very good question. I think I was only 21.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I started from the scratch, very bottom.
Right.
And I picked up as I would go. I had a very good boss who lead me. So that was another part where I actually learned, because in order for you to be a leader, you always have to follow. There should be certain traits of you following someone that you want to look like or be like. So in my case, I always wanted to train people, like in any ways, like it can be gym, it can be, you know, it can be intra or interpersonal skills, but it's always been about helping people to grow.
Hmm.
So I felt like, how can I do this? How can I use this platform to grow people? So eventually, when it's your first job, you will never get it right. Like, you know, you're trying all that methods to, like, you know, lead someone. You don't know whether you're doing it right or wrong unless your leader tells you.
Hmm.
So, and I was very choosy in terms of who I'm working with, because I really needed to know that I'm getting the right direction. It was a good challenge initially, because you get to see different type of people working with you. And CyberRoam was a company where you have a mix of MNCs and people who are like millennial type. So you get both mixture of generation, and how you speak to them is totally different. How you engage with them, how their brainchild works, it's all very, very different.
You know, the other thing though, when you have to deal with these people and you're younger, how do they take that?
So that was the interesting part, because no one actually knew my age. So I guess I look older than my age, but besides the point, I think it was more about who you speak with. So I got engaged in a very young age in terms of talking to people, and I exposed myself out there and listening rather than speaking more, because I wanted to know how people interact, what is the motive behind those things, whatever you were speaking about. It took me a while as well, because CyberRoam was an international company and you deal with a lot of different dialect. Like Indonesia speaks totally different dialect. Mm. India speaks totally different. Sometimes they don't even understand you. It was a challenge also, because they felt that I was young. I would not be able to lead and guide. But I guess I was a producer, so I produce numbers. But more than just producing numbers, I learned how to balance in terms of working, communicating, and also leading. So the leading part for me was more satisfying when I see I can grow people under me.
Okay. So what about changing industries, right? Because Cyber Rome is technology, right? And then Chi was fitness. Yeah. And then after that, I think what you're doing right now would be back to technology again.
It is technology, but it's mainly... it's a combination of hospitality and real estate right now.
Right. Does it make a difference, the industry, changing in industries?
Well, I believe it does. It, to a certain extent, it does make a difference because the people you communicate with, your target audience changes, the way you speak, because it's a totally new product or a totally different product, to be honest. Like coming from Cyber Room, which is firewall, going into wellness and going to, what do you call this, property, is three different products. But I think the brainchild again here is to understand the product and learn how to activate your downliners or people who works with you. So the engagement part for me was the most important thing when I see in these few different organizations, because you should be able to speak to people as you lead them. They should be comfortable enough to come to you and speak to you. And that developed over the years. It's not like you just join a company and you know how to do it. So it took me a while. But yes, it does make a difference because you have a different target audience. But I believe the product was the same. And I always believe in building attitudes rather than skills, because it's always the A. The A is always the attitude.
It's always attitude, huh?
Yeah, it's always the attitude.
What about the fact that, you know, as it grow, as the organization grows bigger and you have to lead more people, right? Does the leadership style change? How do you ensure that you're reaching out to everyone?
So, very good question, because, you know, we are scaling at this point with UpGen. So far, I'm leading 25 employees and we're going to most probably go up to 50 within this year. And as we have more buildings, so... What is important is when you're a leader, you should be able to delegate. So I think that is important. And I have this practice in UpGen that I do is I always have my weekly meetings every Monday. Even though it's not for an hour, it will be at least for 15 to 20 minutes. I just have to touch base with all my employees. It's important for me to hear them out. And I lay down a lot of expectation with my team in terms of how big they're going to grow. And my CEO used to tell me, that, you know, Arvind, there will be time where you'll be leading 100 people. How will you go and communicate with them? I said, for me, the most important thing is every Monday, so any part of the days, I should be able to announce a town hall or do a meeting, like 5 to 10 minutes, just to activate them. And I like to do it earlier of the week because that activates everyone. It can be through a call or it can be through face-to-face. It can be anything, as long as you're communicating with them. So it still boils down to your policies that you create in your company. So like for me, I've created a culture where everybody should be transparent enough to come and speak to me. And it's always been an open door policy. It's not one way. What I do is every morning I get up, I go and see my employees, I speak to each of them. So it's time consuming, but I like that because I think it builds some sense of security in your employees. Employees feel that being cared. And it takes time. Right. Eventually, it takes time.
And so, you know, UpGen is a new organization. They announced a movement to Bangkok and KL in Q4 last year, right? So you're spearheading the Malaysian presence. So how does it feel to be in charge of creating this presence instead of joining a pre-established community? Because Chi has been around. I think at the time, probably Cyber Rome was also around, right?
So UpGen is a beautiful concept which came from Vietnam. And so far, we have 21 locations in total. It's a startup, and it's an office space solution, to be precise. We're not a co-working space. There's a lot of new models to co-working, but this is one of the best and sustainable models so far, because what we do is we only do 5% of co-working and 95% is basically large enterprise. So which means we cater to a lot of MNCs, SMEs, and startups. We try to create a balance. So you get to meet different type of people. You meet a lot of startups who's trying to build their businesses, but you also meet like all these pre-established companies which comes for a brand and aesthetic. They come to you because they want a beautiful space to work in, to improve their design workplace. To be honest with you, I'm pretty much balanced because I'm able to cater to those young generation and also those who are already in their Gen X. And the way you speak to them, the understanding they have about you and how you translate or communicate is always different. But be able to keep them in the same ecosystem in UpGen makes a lot more sense to me because I'm able to do a lot of transaction in terms of speaking. Like we can do business transaction together. We can transit our communication that how we want to do it. So it's a good challenge, but we are still trying to educate the market in a way. Yeah.
Okay. One of the things we talked about was gamifying leadership. We'll discuss that. And you can also correct me if I said that wrongly in just a moment. I'm here speaking to Avindeep Singh from UpGen. You're listening to Racy Game, BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Racy Game. Good morning. Frida Liu here. We're talking about leadership from UpGen. Avindeep Singh, who is the country head of UpGen. He's all of 30 years old.
Yeah.
Right? And this is another, and you, of course, you're leading a team. And I think that's very important as well. You know, leading team you've led teams of 50 to 60 people. And now at UpGen 25, with plans to grow as well. And being at a very young age, one of the things that you talked about was, you know, relationships and kindness and all that. But there's an element of a gamification in your leadership style.
Yeah, there is. So I don't know whether that's the right word, but I think it's a very strong word. So I love seeing people grow. So how you can actually break it down into many categories that how you see it. So for me, the satisfactory only comes in when I see someone's climbing the ladder. It can be an inch. It doesn't need to be a very huge leap. So how I practice in UpGen is we obviously the first key messages to out there is to do an open door policy, to speak to them, to engage with them. The secondly is to find out what's their strength and what's their area of improvement. I never use the word weaknesses because I think Every time when you go and you ask someone, what's your weaknesses? Everyone will take pause and think, what is my weaknesses? So I like to start my conversation.
I have no weakness. That's the thing we would automatically say to ourselves, right?
You will think that you don't have weaknesses. Yeah. So it takes time for you to actually understand what is actually my weaknesses.
Or you get crippled by what you think is your weakness.
Correct. You have this mindset where weaknesses is... it's weaknesses. It can never turn into strength. Some people's weaknesses can be their strengths. Mm. So I focus a lot more on changing mindsets in terms of how perception is. So I will always ask them things like, what's your area of improvement? Rather than asking them, what is your weaknesses? So when they start telling you that, oh yeah, I used to do this, but I need to get here. So I follow SMART goal. I like to use the word SMART because I think it's very... it's very measurable. Like you have specific, measurable action plan, realistic and time-bound. So any type of mini goals or long-term goals, when you put it in this kind of abbreviation, it makes more sense because you know what you are aiming for. And I'm not a believer of just producing numbers. It's more about whether you get, are you happy what you're doing? Like that's important. So testing and gamifying your employees in two ways. Your strength and also your area improvement is important. They need to know where they can improve in. Like for me, that is the most important thing. If they were able to improve on certain work scope, for me, that's already a success.
Okay. Are there cases where someone's not fit for the industry or someone just, you know, don't want to improve or just not fit for the job? You know what I mean? So, and it's nothing wrong. And some people are just not fit for the job and they should be in something else that the company doesn't provide.
Correct. There is. So I have this belief where interview only starts after you hire them. So why I say that is because I believe in attitude more than skills. Because I think skills can be trained. But it's true that sometimes people are intrinsically motivated. Some people are extrinsically motivated. So it depends who you want to be in your team. So like I follow a lot in terms of understanding what exactly they want in their life. So some people are not directed that way. They come from a background where they need to be, drive with different extent motivations. So like for me, I look into the A, which is an attitude. So if you tell me that you're willing to work from the scratch and come up and to grind, I will be all the way to help you. But you will also get those people who are laid back, but they don't know what to do. So for me, this is like a challenge, like a self-development challenge for them. And yeah, you're right there. Some people are not really fit for what they do. But what matters here is the effort that they put in. So you should be able to put in those, even an inch of effort to go where you are. I have encountered many employees who didn't fit for the role, and I always tell them to do a self-reflection, and we do a performance improvement plan for them to understand whether they're regressing, progressing, or they're on the same.
And what happens when they're regressing? We have to say goodbye.
So there's two ways to look at it. So you can either, they regress, you support them, you find ways and means to find their underlying motivation, you train them, then you see how they go. Or you, maybe they're just not fit for that particular department. Maybe they are good in another department. So you got to analyze what is their SWOT like for them, what is their strength, and what's their area of improvement. If it doesn't work, then you could give them chance to keep trying. So like for me, I don't like to let go people like just like that, because I hire everyone individually by myself. I don't let, obviously my HR is with me, but I like to sit down and hear people out, because I think that's important.
And when you look at this, right, what do you do to, you know, always sharpen your leadership skills?
So I do a lot of podcasts. I read and listen a lot. And I've done NLP training with myself. I mean, obviously, I went for a course. And leadership is like relationship for me. So it applies in anything you do in life. So I'm still learning. I'm not saying that I'm the best, but I think over these five companies that I've worked, I have established a good rapport with my employees. So how I do that is basically, obviously, try and error in the beginning. But right now, I know what I want for my team. So it's important for a leader to know what is the expectation towards their employees. So how I sharpen my leadership skills are, you just got to practice it every day. So I try to do different things every day. I put a fun factor to my meetings. When I go into meetings, I try not to do a boring meetings like, hey guys, good morning, let's get into this. I like to activate the first 5 minutes by playing games or just trying to get them into a motion. So they get very excited and their attention span is more.
Right.
Yeah, so those are things that I learned along my experiences. Okay, putting in fun into meetings or doing different type of goal setting in different spot. I don't do my goal settings in the offices. I do it outside of my office. I like to change environment. So I think it's important for the person to feel heard, and also the surrounding makes a lot of difference.
Okay. What advice would you have for the millennials or the under 30s in the workforce who might just now be entering leadership positions of their own?
I think my best advice I could give is be patient. It takes time because it is an art. So it took me a while to get there because I started really young, made a lot of mistakes, but I learned out of it. So the one advice that I would give is be patient and always extract yourself. When you're in a situation where you need to make a decision, always make yourself look like a CCTV, move out of it and try to see it differently. So it's important for you to know what is happening rather than just going and judging someone. Leadership is all about people. You will hear it from both sides. So in the end of the day, you need to understand what kind of perception that you are giving others. So be patient, take your time and develop your skills as you go.
All right. When you said you made a mistake before, mistakes you made before, what was one that you remembered, you know, and that comes from pure youth.
Yeah.
Right. And so inexperience. Yeah.
Secrets. So one mistake that I did was I was too hard on my employees when I was with CyberRoam. I used to handle 50 employees and mainly driven by sales. So, you know, sales people are very driven. They are motivated extrinsically and also intrinsic to a certain extent. So I was a guy who would say my way or no way, you know, that kind of thing. So I had a lot of turnovers in my team because of the way I used to lead them. I was a guy who wanted to produce numbers and that's about it. There was no work-life balance. And that cost me quite a bit in terms of relationship around me. But I was producing numbers. So there was always a pro and cons.
Right.
Like, I spearheaded almost 6 million revenue, but I lost so many good employees. So now I'm trying to weigh this out. So I'm very balanced now. Okay. So one thing that I wouldn't do anymore is if the person is telling you that he can't do it, I will just tell him, okay, it's fine. Okay. Let's do something else.
Right.
Let's find solutions. Let's not dwell on the problems. Let's find solutions.
Okay. All right. Thanks for spending time with us, Arvindip Singh, country head of UpGen. You've been listening to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.